now we don't have Donna, it's 5:30, so we'll start.
Yep, you're on.
Welcome to the August 3rd meeting of the Monclova Township Board of Trustees. We have Commissioner Lisa Sobecki with us today. I'd like her to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Commissioner Sobecki. I'm gonna ask you, since you're on my screen and I can't see my agenda, I'm gonna ask you up and just, yes, please, come, address the board.
No, thank you, and I appreciate the opportunity to come out here tonight and address your board. Before I get started, I want to give you all a couple of, a pin. It's the Ohio County pin collection of the America 250. Provide, sorry, I'd love to get you.
You're like Disney. We're trading pins now. How great. Thank you.
Thank you.
But it's my pleasure here tonight, and given the opportunity to be able to go through the Lucas County strategic plan. This is not, yes, this is the Board of County Commissioners strategic plan, but this is a strategic plan that was put together by many entities, and I'll get into that as we get into the plan. I've left behind a copy here of our strategic plan and also the commissioner's report that we have also published for this year. So I have that here too, if anybody would like that. So Mike, if you might want to hand out the strategic plan to everyone up here with us so they can follow along with us. This is something that is dear to the commissioners. This is the first time that Lucas County Commissioners have ever put together a strategic plan for the county. And the purpose of this is to really give us a roadmap for the next 3 to 5 years of our county and the direction we're looking to go. We also outline 6 advocacy areas, such as which are broader community-wide goals that the Lucas County Commissioners also support. And I'll go ahead and have you go to the next slide right here. We have our roadmap. What we did is we set our mission and vision values, conducted focus groups and surveys, we had an advisory team meetings, we developed goal developments, and then developed metrics for those. Go to the next one. Here is those focus groups and surveys. So we put together, there was 248 staff survey responses, and if you know that when you have staff survey responses, is that sometimes they fill them out, sometimes they don't. So this being the first one, I'm really proud of the 248 responses that we received. We had community survey responses of 434, individual interviews of 52, department, leader, staff, advisory meetings, we had 5, and stakeholder focus groups. And I will say that Monclova was invited to those focus groups, and I believe participated. I think Chuck might have participated. It's been a while since we've done this. But I also, to get the survey responses from the community that we had, I went on the news media, and I also, we did articles in the Toledo Blade. I also went and was on a couple of different radio stations, just bringing awareness to this, because anytime that there's something new, people don't know that there's this opportunity. So of that then, we developed our mission statement and vision statement for Lucas County. Our mission statement is creating a stronger Lucas County by building vibrant communities through public service, innovation, and collaboration. Our vision is a county that offers exceptional quality of life and economic opportunities where everyone is proud to live, work, and play. If any of you all have ever heard me speak, I normally say this at least 2 or 3 times, that Lucas County is a great place to live, work, I say play, and retire. Our values. We impact by empowering our employees to make positive differences in our community. Our collaboration is fostering partnerships to create a more efficient and effective government and belonging, creating a welcoming and inclusive environment for all. The one thing that Lucas County is that we are a welcoming county. And for the last 2 years, we've been part of a program of our welcoming. Resilience is willingness to adapt in order to meet the challenges. Operational goals. Now we'll get into some of those. Work that will improve the operations of the Board of Lucas County Commissioners over the next 5 years. If anyone, I'm just kind of curious, has anyone ever worked in an environment where you've had a strategic plan and they have their goals that are laid out? I'm just kind of curious. So, yeah. So people are really aware that this really gives us a roadmap. So I think of it like this. If the fire chief were to come in and say, hey, I have this great new program, and you look in the strategic plan, and it's not part of that strategic plan, you have one or two choices. You can say, hey, where does that meet the our goals, expectations that we're looking to do in the next 3 to 5 years? And do we need to adopt and bring that in? Or is this something that, hey, that's a great idea, but we really can't do that right now, but we're going to put it in a parking lot for another time to look at when we redo a strategic plan. So getting those. Goal number one is enhanced service deliverability and accessibility. Deliver high quality services as mandated by the Ohio Revised Code. The Board of County Commissioners, we are an extension of the state government. So the state government gives you the Ohio Revised Code, they give you direction, and then we have to implement those things. We also have to ensure that county services are accessible. So I'll use the example of Lucas County Jobs and Family Services. If you've ever had the experience back in the day at 32 Timman Rose Street when Lucas County Jobs and Family Services there, that was a standalone building. And then you would maybe come there and have your appointment, or you're an authorized representative for someone, and then they would say, I need you to go down to X and pick up documents and bring it back. That could be for showing that you have paid your child support. Or we might say you need to go down to workforce. So what's happened, though, and we've already done this, is that through our 3737 campus, where Early Voting Center is that campus is not Jobs and Family Services, just Jobs and Family Services. It's our workforce. It's our also a place you go vote, and it's also a place that you have where you can go and talk with your caseworker around if you owe, say, child support. And it's also a place that you can get resources. So it really took that siloedism down from going through 32 Timman Rose Street, going downtown to Ohio Means Jobs Building, then going downtown to Adams Street to go get your information about your child support. Now you only have one stop. It's all housed in one building. Then goal number two is modernize and optimize county operations and processes. We elevate stakeholders' experience through the strategic deployment of technology, continuously evaluate and improve processes, and maintain safe, reliable county buildings and infrastructure. In here is our canine care and control building that we opened up. Been almost a year now, I believe it has, that we've been in operation there. So that is an if you had ever gone and adopted a dog or gone to our old building where our dog services were, you can really tell the difference from that building to this current building that we have. Also within that building is a vet service that down the road we are looking at the opportunity that you need after our vet services. This could be a place that we could be able to do that work. We don't do that yet, but that's something that we have planned for in the future. Goal number three is engage communications through collaboration. Strengthen partnerships to advance regional priorities. Proactively manage public funding process to align with county operational goals and advocacy areas. Encourage public involvement in local government. If you think about that 3.1, the strengthen the partnership to advance regional priorities, I think of this in the way of Lucas County is part of a Toledo Regional Alliance. And what that is that's a private-public partnership that we have, and we are able to prioritize the priorities of the area, Northwest Ohio area, and say, for example, we've gone to Washington, D.C. three different times with our priorities of the region. And it's not what the county commissioner's priorities are. It's not what the city of Toledo's priorities are. We have to all agree all the different private-public relationships that we have on this board to be able to have those regional, true regional priorities. And then going to goal number four, establish Lucas County as a premier employer. Attract candidates of all perspectives and experience levels. Offer competitive, equitable compensation packages and wellness packages, and empower staff through training and professional development opportunities to foster an inclusive and purpose-driven culture. On this, I can think of, we just hired in Lucas County an OMB director. And this OMB director had experience in budgets from working in Columbia, South Carolina, and most recently in Pennsylvania. And so really look for that top-notch talent to be able to come in. And then we also, I'll say, our benefit package, you've probably heard about some of this in the news recently, but look at our benefit package. And I say that even to this day, we still have an amazing benefit package that we're able to offer to our employees. We're self-funded through our health care. It's not through private benefits, which would be much higher that they'd be paying and with less coverage. Going to goal number five, responsible manage and maintain county finances. Uphold strong financial management practices. You've also probably heard in the news recently about the 13% reduction that we have asked all of our row offices, including even the commissioner's office, is to look at a 13% reduction in their budget. We are currently right now looking at a $27 million deficit. And so I've been in different positions where I've had to cut, for example, one position I held in the past was cutting $189 million from our budget. That was extremely hard to do. What we did is kind of kick that can. This year, we're not kicking that can. We can't afford to kick that can. Pursue cost-saving strategies and shared service models across departments and offices, and leverage funding opportunities to grow and sustain programming services and infrastructure. Number six is strengthen board governance and procedural efficiencies. This proactively reviews and updates the board's strategic plan in response to evolving needs and priorities. So I just gave you the example, if the fire chief was to come in and say, hey, I need X, that we would be able to look at that, how does that fit in our strategic plan? And like I said before, if it fits, then we would adopt that, and if not, then we would put that in the parking lot for another day. Strengthen communication between the board, county departments, and the public to align strategy and support clear, informed policies, and clarify and regularly review roles of the board as members in county administration, and streamline meetings and workflow to support timely decisions. The worst thing to do in any government, I think you all would agree with me, is if you don't have a timely decision, if it comes after the fact. But have it be timely and purposely for the mission of Lucas County. Advocacy areas. The board's stance is very critical around these advocacy areas at a local, state, or national level to drive systematic change aligned with community values. areas the boards actively promote and invest in through funding, policy support, and cross-government collaborations. So, for example, I'm part of the Toledo Regional Alliance Group. So I just told you we go to Washington, D.C. We have met with 13 different departments. We've met at the White House. It did not matter who was sitting in that White House. We still went to the White House. Most recently, when we went, we talked to FNS department. This is the department that talks about Jobs and Family Services and the administrative fees that are going to be on to 10 different states, and Ohio is one of those states, and how that's going to be affecting the state's budget that comes down to the government, to the county, the services that we're able to provide. But having those relationships so we can let them know what the decisions that they're thinking about making and how they're going to affect the citizens that we have within Lucas County that use the services that we have. We also, in the last operating budget at the State House, I did testify down at the State House in the Senate Finance Committee to talk about the ditch maintenance and how that affects us here in our region of the state, and asking for a $5 million grant to be put in the operating budget. We weren't successful, but what we were able to do is have that conversation, but that conversation will roll into this year as they're building the state's operating budget, literally as we sit in this room today. The current governor, in the month of August, will be asking for those departments to submit their budgets. He'll review those and go through that process all the way up till his last day of work. But one of the first things for the new governor, whomever it is that comes in office, is the first budget they're going to pass is transportation budget. The second budget they pass is the operating budget, which is due by June 30th of 2027, excuse me. And then the last one that they pass in budgets at the State House is the capital budget. So we were also instrumental in putting in our needs for capital requests in the state budget, and also supportive in the priorities of the region. This is just a timeline that, this is old, I know, but just so you kind of just re-goes through everything that I've kind of talked about with around the capital budget. You kind of start that conversation in the summer and the fall of the year prior, meeting with legislators, talking to them about the needs. Then we'll submit them in the winter, and then the governor in early spring would then release his capital budget. In the May of 2026, the legislature would pass the capital budget, and then the funds will then be available in the latter part of this summer. Enhance education workflow development, strengthen community safety reliance and well-being, expand access to affordable housing, and promote community development. Really having a high-quality education training that prepares residents of all backgrounds for career success. So we have on our workforce development board aligned with our economic development to really talk about those in-demand jobs. So how are we going to, in Lucas County, so I think of St. Monclova area, is because you guys could really expand on business, because revenue's coming in, expenses usually exceed revenue. So how do we work with businesses, say in Monclova, if someone comes up and says, hey, really, we're looking at staying here or going someplace else, Fulton County or to another state, what we want to be able to do is say, hey, what do you need and what are those things that you need to have to be able to keep you right here in Lucas County, to keep you right here in Monclova? Think about when Jeep came out and announced they're going to have all these jobs from Jeep. And they weren't going to be for another 3 years. The first thing I did was got a hold of Stellantis and said, listen, we need to know what you're going to need to have, so when those jobs come open, we have our workforce that is ready to be able to apply for those jobs so that we would be able to fill those jobs right here. So those are some of the things that we do in the commissioner's office, but aligning up, really strategically thinking and lining up those different areas. Champions sustainable land use and environmental stewardship, prioritize economic development and community infrastructure, elevate culture and recreation opportunities in the region. So when I think of the prioritized economic development and community infrastructure, I also think of the individual in your community that might be thinking about putting a pole barn up, and how do I navigate through that system? So if you're going to put a pole barn up, you're going to have to go through planning and zoning here. And so Monclova has their own planning and zoning processes. And then you're going to go to get your permit. And then you're like, okay, well, what am I doing next? I think I should be done. I should be able to go. Well, no, you might have to go to the county engineer, or you might have to go to the health department. But how can we really streamline that up so you're going to know from start to finish what you're going to have to be able to do, and then be able to line that up so that, A, you can plan for it, and then B, you can save for it because you have all these permits, and then how can you track it? So this is really going to help growth with our private partners out there, but also just that individual that says, I just want to put a barn up. And you've never had to do it. It's the only time you've ever had to do it. How do you work through that process? So I'm hopeful that by the third quarter of this year, or close to the fourth quarter, that we'll have an application that we'll be able to use. And I know this is something that we've heard from a lot of townships, and we've heard from residents, and we've heard from our developers in our area. So I think it's going to be really exciting when we do this. So our next steps, we've already done some of this, is share the finalized strategic plan with the community and staff, finalize metrics for each department tied to the objectives, we've done that, discuss plans for process improvement efforts, set goals and metrics, and communicate improved processes with the community. So, and that's our QR code, if you'd like to download that to get your own copy of the strategic plan, and I did bring some of them here today. So where we are with our strategic plan is we've already started in June of this year having our directors have come in and started doing reports at the beginning of our commissioners meeting. They've done presentations to let us know where they are and what their goals are for the next year. So this is not just something that we have spent time on and money on to sit on a shelf and collect a bunch of dust. This is really that implementation piece, and that's probably the hardest part on a strategic plan is implementing it. But say, for example, our Department of Sanitary Engineer, and I didn't bring this to have you put it up, but one of the things that I found really incredible, I'm looking through here really quick because I thought I had it in here, was how much waste that goes through our plant out there, if you get what I'm putting now, that poo that goes down when you, because all you got to worry about is the toilet flush, and when I turn on my spigot, is there water coming out? And no one really thinks about all the other things behind. You think about it when it doesn't work, then you're like, what has gone on? What's going on here? But that's really what our director, Nate Inkrot, thinks about each and every day. Is that when you flush the toilet, that the toilet works, and when you turn on the spigot works. So you don't have to worry about all those different things. But I also know, because we've had such great growth in the western part of Lucas County, that we really have to look at our sanitary engineer area, though, and be prepared for that growth that we've had out this way, so that we keep up with that and look at the growth that we might have to do out in our area and planning ahead, so that I don't wait for Nate to come to me and say, hey, Commissioner, I need X amount of dollars. We are actually planning for that now, so for that growth. But then when I'm in Washington, D.C., and having conversations for grant opportunities, why our grant should be the grant that they give, or a grant that they might need to put together so that then we can apply for that and be able to get that. And then I'll just close up here really quick is we published our, we put it out this year, our commissioner's report for 2025. So this is really that report out to the community of what we have done in our strategic plan. And this is also available up here for anyone who'd like to take it. And if you need additional ones, just make sure to let Mike know and we can get those to you. So I know that was really extremely fast, but I want to ask you all if you have any questions for me.
Yeah, I got a couple questions. Thank you, Lisa, for coming out tonight and sharing that information. You had mentioned about the part of the plan that the county with a 13% reduction across all of the row offices. We have a contract with the Sheriff's Department for the services that they provide out here. I mean, how can he continue to fulfill the terms of that contract if he's asked for a 13% reduction?
Sure. Well, let's talk about why we have that ask, though, that we have to, is because in the big, beautiful bill, the administrative cost is going to cost the county about $4.3 million. And that's for jobs and family services. So in the big, beautiful bill, they said that if you have an error rate state, not county, by county, as a state that's higher than 6%, then we're going to, because they used to pay 50-50, we're going to cut that back. And then you have to get implemented by October 1st. So that's about $4.3 million that we're having to subsidize through our general fund. And then also preparing for the jail, the about $5 million on there. And then our health care is about $13 million. It's plugging that holes in. So back to your question, Chuck. I don't know. We have a lot of work. We just now started the budget process and given the direction out. And where we end up could be different than where we started. So as I said, I've asked for that across the board. There might be some that when they come in for budget hearings, it says to us, no, we can't meet that for XYZ reasons. So to your question, though, I don't know if we're going to have that conversation. It's going to be a hard conversation if we do have to have it, but we're still going to have to look at all different factors, and we just started that process.
Okay. And my second question is, I'm a lot of buzz in the whole country about data centers. And then, especially, there's, various sites around, the county and the state, primarily looking at townships because that's where the available land is. To what extent, and I don't know who the lead is now that Matt's gone at the county level, is the county looking at potential brownfield sites, or other repurposing old industrial sites for potential use as, a data center site?
Well, I can say from the position I'm in that, and it's Jamie Byers Grant is our new economic development director. I think she's had some conversations with Mike, but we'll make sure that you guys all get her information. Mm-hmm. But is that I'm not aware of anything that we've been approached to on a data center for the county on a brownfield site or what have you. When it comes to data centers, though, I'm going to leave it to the locals' control on what the local jurisdictions want for those data centers or whatever it might be, that business that might be able to come in. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Debbie, do you have anything?
No.
Thank you for coming.
Commissioner, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate any time.
Thank you. And you know you don't have to stay. Thank you for the pen.
You're welcome.
Do you want to do a nice little roll call, Gavin?
Sure.
Still getting the whole roll call.
I know. I don't know. Right.
Wang?
We can take it off. Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Locks?
Yes.
And I move to approve the agenda as presented.
Second.
Motion made by Lang, seconded by Herschel. On the motion, Herschel.
Yes.
Locks.
Yes.
Lang.
Yes. And I will approve the July 20th minutes as presented by the fiscal officer.
Second.
Motion made by Lang, seconded by Herschel. On the motion, Lox?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
That takes us to our fiscal officer and approving bills. I can make that motion to approve the bills as presented totaling $270,000. Oops.
I updated that.
I have a wrong number, so I'm not going to approve the bills.
It was a late day addition.
Sorry. Does somebody have it?
Is it 352?
There you go, Chuck, go ahead.
Make a motion to pay the bills as submitted by our fiscal officer totaling $352,064.71.
Second.
For the attached list.
Motion made by Herschel, seconded by Lox. On the motion, Lox?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
It doesn't look like you have anything on your report.
No.
Is there any correspondence you want to?
There are none in this.
No correspondence?
No correspondence.
We are done with your report, which takes us to our favorite topic, roundabout closures under old business.
About that, yeah, so.
I drove around it today.
Yeah, it drives nice, doesn't it? But you certainly can't go east at the moment. So as we said, when this one opens, the other one's gonna close. We did secure a emergency access for fire and EMS and law enforcement with our partners at Anthony Wayne Schools. They're gonna be using that as well for some of their bus services. I did make a call to Lucas County Sheriff today, our good friend Lieutenant Leach, and did tell him that there's quite a bit of non-emergency traffic that's going through there and ticket them appropriately. They're putting people's lives at risk.
Can you spread that word?
So.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, the administrator can be the bad guy if people get tickets, but they shouldn't be going through there. With that, the roundabout at Maumee Western and Albin has been pushed to April of 27. It's going to be 9 more weeks before utilities are out of the way. There's no way that they can start the project and get it finished with paving conditions and the requirements.
So we didn't slow them down.
We didn't slow them down.
Great news.
Yeah. So it'll be a project in 27. Which, quite honestly, that does not bother our team at all, because having two roundabouts closed on Maumee Western at the same time is going to cause issues for navigational purposes for fire and EMS as well. So we'll take the one closure, we'll deal with that, and then we'll deal with 27 next year.
Now, the access road that they put in for the school, is that going to be allowed for parent drop-off too, or is
no,
it strictly buses?
Just strictly buses. Our good friend Kevin Herman, the superintendent.
For parents and staff.
They
quoted Anthony Wayne's email today. It is for parents and staff.
So that's wrong. So I'll have to get with Kevin, because we specifically talked about, thanks for bringing that to our attention. That parking lot's closed off to parents and staff is what it should say.
Yeah, their email says that temporary road is available for buses, emergency response vehicles, and parents and staff traffic.
Yeah.
Different question than what you
shouldn't,
asked.
Shouldn't be. Thanks for bringing that.
No.
No, pretty much the same question, but different answers.
So parent
email. All right, we'll have to get that corrected.
Okay.
So.
What did you say on the news this morning?
I just don't know how great Montclova Township is.
I know, but about that road in particular.
Oh, that.
You didn't bring
really,
it up.
Really, it was more so talking about roundabouts and our partnership with Lucas County Engineer. I know it definitely saves lives, and it moves traffic. Anyone out here knows that these intersections certainly get clogged at peak times. So it's really gonna improve the efficiency and again, the safety. You know, how many folks that wanna get to the ice cream shop, you know, with the work that we're doing internally, especially with connectivity, that's just gonna play a big role in that, so.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Any questions for Mike on that? No. Okay. That takes us to new business. Mike, you want to run us through all that?
Yeah. So on your screen here, you'll see the our new electronic message center, what it's going to look like. This is a tier one design and Equalis purpose. So it is cellular based. So there's a lot of good messages that we'll be able to put out informing our public of what's going on.
I make a motion to approve the new monument sign with electronic message center from National Sign at a cost of $71,750.
Second.
Motion made by Lang, seconded by Lox. On the motion, Lang?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Lox?
Yes.
And just a note, we did receive about $60,000 from the county as compensation for the old sign, so we're upgrading for not a whole lot more.
That takes us to resolution authorizing a job shadow with the Public Works Department. Do you want to explain that, Mike?
Yeah, so had a student at Notre Dame Academy contact Monclova Township about job shadowing and how her interest was public service base and how she would just like to see what actually goes on. So what a great opportunity for this young person to be able to shadow our public works people. So we need to formalize that. We need to have permissions from her parent because she is not an adult. So working through all the processes.
Somebody want to make that motion?
I'll make a motion to approve resolution 08032026-01 authorizing a high school job shadow and vehicle ride along for a minor student within the Monclova Township Public Works Department.
Second.
Motion made by Herschel, seconded by Lox. On the motion, Lox?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.
And just maybe a conversation later for Mike. I know the fire department's got a cadet program for similar for high school that maybe we can get something in our policy manual authorizing that or a reference to that, maybe follow up with Dawn for both programs, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That takes us to Chief, right, Chief? This FEMA grant is you.
Yes, thank you. We have received the equipment that was purchased with the through the FEMA grant, and summarize it was for our SCBA equipment and accessories. The total project cost was $280,195. The FEMA funding presents federal funding assistance of 95% of the cost. And for us in Monclova Township, we have 5% local share cost percentage for that. So tonight I was just asking for the authorization for the purchase order to cover the 5% local share cost, which is $13,342.62.
Somebody want to make that motion?
Move to approve a purchase order for Fire Safety Services Incorporated for $13,342.62 for the 5% local contribution under the FY 2024 Federal Emergency Management Agency Assistance to Firefighters Grant Award EMW-2024-FG-01961.
Second.
Motion made by Lox, seconded by Lang. On the motion, Lang?
Yes.
Lox?
Yes.
Herschel?
Yes.
Almost have it memorized. You have another one, Chief.
Thank you. The second one is earlier this year, the board authorized the purchase of a replacement medic unit, and we had updates for the power cot and the power load system to go into the new medic unit. We did the power load system with the purchase of the medic unit, and tonight I'm just asking for authorization for the purchase of the Stryker Power Pro 2 cot to update that when we get the new medic unit.
Is there a motion for that?
Move to approve the purchase of a Stryker Power Pro 2 cot batteries and battery charger per the attached quote for $39,269.36.
Second.
Motion made by Lox, seconded by Lang. On the motion, Herschel?
Yes.
Lox?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes, that takes care of new business, and it takes us right into the fire chief's report.
Okay, just an informational item I had for you tonight for some consideration. With us receiving the new SCBA equipment, we've been approached by Sylvania Schools, who is starting up a fire and EMT program in their career tech, and they were looking for donations or looking for equipment that they could start up with. And they had reached out to all the fire departments in the area. If it's something you're interested in doing, I will have some conversations with them as to what they would need as far as the SCBA equipment that we have that we will be decommissioning for use, and see what we can do to work out. Otherwise, at a future meeting, I'll come back to you to ask for the normal process of posting it on company notes for sale.
Yeah.
But thought it was a kind of valuable program. Over the years, we've partnered with, or we've reaped the benefits of Penn and Career Center, their program. We've had our cadet program. A lot of those have gone through the fire and EMS training at one of the areas. So this gives us another opportunity to get some homegrown talent in the area.
Right, that's how I would use donations to any of these. Doesn't just have to be to Sylvania.
Yeah, you say, does Anthony Wayne have any program like this?
They do not. Anthony Wayne's part of the Penn system, so that their students that are interested go funnel through Penn County Career Center. So this is just another opportunity that the school is starting up on their own.
I'm sure we don't get enough from Gov Deals to make that big of a difference. So.
Yeah, I mean, do they need all 20?
I'm not sure. We'll have some follow-up with them after I got the feeling from the board as to what they were interested in, what you were interested in.
I think you should be a quarterly speaker at the class so we get the kids, but.
We'll try. They'll be looking for instructors.
You work on that.
And I also expressed to them that if they get to the point of needing clinical sites or
experience
sites,
exactly
that
we would
be interested in that as well.
Perfect.
So they'll be preparing that for us.
Any other questions for Chief based on his report? All right.
No, congratulations on the grants and again.
Administrator, what else do you have for us?
Just, you know, one key item we're working on is limited home rule. We introduced that to the public. It's going to be on the ballot. So putting together informational pieces, working with a consultant so that we can get it out there and get it professionally, all the information done professionally. With the pros and the cons, not just why it's beneficial, but what we would also be losing, such as perhaps the services of the prosecutor and those types of things. So just trying to be transparent with what limited home rule actually means.
Okay. Any questions? Okay, that takes us to the public comment portion.
Risa.
You want to call them out, Debbie?
Yep, Risa.
At least you know I'm reliable. You folks do an excellent job in maintaining our township. I know it's been a while since I've said that, but you do. But townships are under unprecedented stressors now, as we all know. Thanks for bringing that up to Lisa Sebecki about data centers. I anticipated a little bit more comment from her, but we get what we do. I want to ask yet again, and I don't anticipate an answer, as usual, but I want it on the public record, especially since the last meeting audio is not on, or the agenda meetings minutes. But I want to ask again, what is being done ahead of schedule to look out to protect our township from somebody being given a great offer on their acreage for a Bitcoin mining operation? Just one example. We need to welcome viable, vibrant development in Monclova. I'm all for that. And I'm all for the tech aspect of bringing into our township. And I know that the development there on the west side of Black Road, the light industrial is proceeding well. I was told within the past week that's proceeding along, the proposal for that. But that's only going to take
where? I'm not aware.
On the west side of Black Road with Monclova Properties LLC.
I'm not aware of anything from the developer. Oh, I'm not aware of anything.
I'm coming right from the developer who told me directly,
Not
hearsay. So I know that's coming along. That's proceeding in a favorable direction. But that's only going to take up a small portion of that large acreage on both east and west side. So again, I'm reliable in bringing this up every meeting. What is Monclova doing to welcome vibrant development but protecting the township from, one example, a Bitcoin mining operation, which is, they are the bottom feeders of the industry. That would be hell upon the township if you're not aware of it already. So let's do our homework. We're better than this. Let's not sit on our laurels. Let's move ahead. We're great doing the everyday, today stuff, but this is unprecedented in what we're encountering, with townships especially. So as you said earlier, we need to be smart. Let's work smart. Thank you.
Thank you. Before you call the next person, or is she the only person?
Okay. Yes.
Can we just address the audio? Is it going to be up this week? Is this just a glitch in the...
So with the new system, we are working through a new program with our minutes. So, yeah, just bear with us. The audio, I just worked with Design Entertainment today. So we can certainly get the audio posted.
Okay. So that's coming up, right? You guys can hear us better?
Much.
Yeah.
So we are going to get the audio posted, yes, too. We think that's really important. The minutes tell you the time you can look at something. So it'll be very complete. Just give our great administrator a little breathing room on that.
I just wanted to say, Ms. Sanderson, when she sat there at the last meeting,
yes,
most people were commenting later. They could not hear her.
We have more microphones now.
There's new ones.
I just want to mention that because a lot of people have mentioned when she spoke, they couldn't help.
And she has a little voice. She doesn't have this big voice.
Are you hearing me through?
Yes.
She kind of, Debbie has kind of a little voice, too.
If she's here, I can move it down between us, then.
We have on the agenda the zoning administrator's report at the next meeting, and I expect we'll hear more about our plans to improve that zoning resolution, including maybe a new classification, and we will be continuing
the text amendment.
The text amendment for
generators.
Thank you for the word. I could not think of it. For generators. So you will hear more. We have a moratorium in place. We do know that's a time limit, and we are working continuously to make our zoning resolution stronger.
And just for
any
clarification,
other comments?
A question for Eric. So
yeah.
The Bitcoin mining would be considered industrial, correct?
Well, I think Bitcoin mining is an electronic, but yes, it would be.
So, I mean, we have just industrial areas.
Center. No, it's a data center.
It's a kind of data center. It's a term for data center, but it would be an industrial type view. It'd be like a big warehouse type view.
Is that the same as the crypto?
I did
do it earlier.
5 acres and create a warehouse on 5 acres. So it's not what you might think.
Okay.
And there's still, it's a Bitcoin mining data center, and on 5 acres they can bring rain hell. So for example, if Moline decided to sell those 5 acre up to 40 acres, right? 5 acres up to 40, that's a perfect setup for a Bitcoin mining situation. Perfect. And like last year when he was looking at that with West Valley Development and MGen to look into a data center deal, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay. Yeah. Debbie, do you have any comments you want to make?
I was just asking, is the crypto the same as the
Yeah, you have to distinguish AI, like the AI hyperscalers, like in Waterville threat, but we're talking Bitcoin, yeah, crypto.
Crypto, same.
Yes.
Okay, that's what it is.
But they can work on 5 acres. 40 is more favorable, but can be a living hell on a very small footprint.
We thank you all for attending. I'm happy to accept a motion for adjournment.
To adjourn. Second.
Motion made by Lox, seconded by Lang on the motion. Herschel?
Yes.
Lox?
Yes.
Lang?
Yes.